Hey, hey, hey! Welcome back to the Hooligans Pitch after the international break.
Finally.
We are back. We are back, and it feels good to be back and have some mostly exciting footy to watch.
That was a long 2 weeks. It felt a lot longer than 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was going to drag on just because of, like, the game that was looming for me. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it really did because of that. I think it just dragged on because, like, there was, like, nothing good to watch in, like, these international games, really. So,
fair.
Yeah. But I got a new brew.
Oh, what you got brewing?
I was at the store today. It's a Deschutes that I haven't seen before. Citrus Dive Grapefruit IPA.
That is right up my alley. I'm going to have to look. What's it called?
Citrus Dive.
Citrus Dive. I'm going to have to write that down and go find it. Bad news. Out of beer in this household. So we're rocking with Aldi's Grapefruit Sparkling Water. Funny story, I had to stat some softball games this weekend, so I brought my little cooler because it was a little toasty out, and I had all my seltzers in there, and a couple of the student workers were next to me, and I opened up my cooler, and I was like, y'all want a seltzer? And they look at me like this, and I was like, I was like, what? And they're like, you can't have alcohol out here. I was like, oh no, I was like, this is what you drink when you hit 30. Like, seltzers to me are different from you. And
back in my day,
it kind of took me back a little bit. I was like, oh, it's seltzers are we didn't have seltzers that much when we were in college.
No. It was, I remember, like, when the Trulies kind of started to, like, pop off, and, like, Mike Hard Lemonade and stuff kind of, like, popped off. Like, that was, like, the alternative at that point. It wasn't, like, a whole market of seltzer. Like,
no, it's crazy now with all the high noons and the Hoosier McCollits and whatever you can get.
Man, I hear people getting buzz balls they like buzz balls. I was like, you're not supposed to like those. What are you guys doing?
They're cool now, Chad. They're cool.
I guess so.
All right. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing. But let's get into the fun stuff. There was some fun stuff this weekend.
Some fun stuff, yeah.
I wouldn't say it was a weekend, you know, with every game just with us glued to the TV, but the games I wanted to watch, I thought they were decent. I thought this weekend had a bunch of calls that were questionable, like always, because that's just what we look at nowadays. So, yeah, where do you want to start?
I mean, I feel like we maybe just get the City Arsenal game out the way. I think just get that over with and then just move forward.
Yeah, let's bite the bullet on it. I'll give you just my two cents as a neutral. Thank you.
You're a little bit invested.
I am. And you know, when Liverpool played City a little over a month ago now, y'all wanted us to draw, and in my head, I looked at this game in two ways, right? I was like, if you guys draw, that's great for us, puts us back in first. We're kind of where we are now a month ago, like almost the exact same place. Mm-hmm. But if y'all win, this could maybe turn into like just a two-team title race down to the wire. And, you know, in my head, I was like, I would much rather have a two-team title race with Arsenal and you than the three of us staying still kind of close together on it. That's how I was trying to think of that. And I didn't know what I wanted prior to the game. I would anything but a City win, I think, is what I wanted. Right.
I think that's like most, you know, neutral fan consensus and Liverpool fan consensus. Like
no momentum for City is better than anything. And the fact that you all kind of both just clashed, and I think you'll probably agree with this, didn't really do a whole lot to break that game open. As a Liverpool fan who won just the hour prior to the game starting, like, that pretty nice Sunday for me.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I'd say I agree with that. Like, obviously a win would have been much better for Arsenal in the long term, but you know, to get a draw here and a clean sheet as well and end City's scoring at home streak of 57 games. Like, that's one of those, like, moral victories, right? But, yeah, would have loved to win. I'm happy with the draw, though. Like, this felt like a game that, like, Arsenal didn't need to win but couldn't lose. Like, I think a loss here maybe wouldn't have killed the season, but I think going into this month, Arsenal's playing like a game, I think, every 3 to 4 days, basically. So it's like a busy month to get this game out of the way first and to kind of get something from it. I think we'll kind of set up some good momentum and keep the mindset right and not have that worry of, you know, this Arsenal team will sometimes, like, group losses together and get that on that bad run of form for just, like, a couple games. And with so many games this month, I feel like that could have just really spiraled and, you know, became an issue for the end of season hopes, right? But yeah, you know, as an Arsenal fan, I'm locked in on this game, but I completely agree. Wasn't the most electric game out there, especially as a neutral. Like, you know, you read two title challenging teams going head to head, you're thinking a full on blitz back and forth.
Yeah, but I want to say for us, yes and no, for the casual fan, that's what they expect, right? Two giants going at each other, which is, I don't know, at this point of the season, you don't want to show all your cards, even though it's against your possible title opponent. Like, so isn't a Chelsea City game where Chelsea has, like, kind of nothing to lose and, like, let's just go out and go crazy. If Arsenal would have lost this game, I think 1-0 it would have been fine, but like a 3-0, 4-0, oh my God, the media would have been all over them and just like, so why even? I understand not trying to risk it. I do think both teams, though, didn't play all their cards to try to go all out and win this game, which is, they didn't have to. They didn't have to.
Yeah. I mean, I think some of this game, you know, was affected by just being the first game back from international break. Those games are always just like such a toss up of how teams perform. You know, Arsenal specifically, I think, looked really good out of possession. All their movement and blocking was great, but in possession, they were just very sloppy and wasteful. I mean, a lot of bad passing. Like, the two I just picked out, Odegaard, his season average pass completion is 86%. This game, he was 65%. You know, David Raya, his season average is 70%. This game was 48%.
Wow.
So, like, the good passing is such a key part of Arsenal's game. You know, some credit to City there for blocking the lanes as they did, but to have, like, a handful of players on kind of both sides, really, just not be up to speed, really, certainly affected the quality of the game. But, you know, I think Arsenal coped well. I don't think Arteta would have wanted to have as little possession as Arsenal did.
Yeah, what was it? It looked like 29, 30?
Yeah, it was pretty low. But I'd say they planned for that possibility, though, because their defensive block and Arsenal in the defensive third looked just so strong and so good and, you know, kept City quiet for the most part. I think they ended the game with two shots on target, I think.
One from Foden and maybe one from Silva. Maybe. Oh, Ake maybe got one in there.
Ake, yeah, yeah. And I think Arsenal ended with, like, three shots on target. So, like, I mean, if you're just looking at the stat line, then it looks like Arsenal, you know, played this pretty perfectly. Yeah, you know, it's it was just a battle. I don't know if I'd call it, like, a chess match. Like, people are trying to talk it up. Like, it was some, like, tactical, like, you know, battle of the minds sort of situation.
Felt like both teams are going 80%. That's what it looked like to me.
I think that's, you know, players are probably tired, haven't gone away for 2 weeks, and, you know, then just not being in that same groove of club football. And, Yeah, you know, like just pointing out Saka, like certainly wasn't his best game. So maybe that injury that he left the England camp with is true. Like, you know, so many question marks around any City or Arsenal player who like pops up with an injury. Is it real or was it just like a tactical thing? I mean, it, you know, Saka plays every game, so I'm not surprised if he's carrying something at almost every point, right? So, like, you know, bummer to not see him fully fit, but then on, you know, City's side, like, even De Bruyne was making some crazy wayward passes and you know, Haaland whiffing probably one of the better chances of the game. And
De Bruyne's runs looked really good. For his size, it looked like he was running maybe the fastest in that game. He had one on the left-hand side that he had a good run in, and then just no one could find the final finish on it. I mean, this is now, what, two games in a row? Arsenal has pocketed Haaland and just neutralized him?
Yeah. And like, I mean, that's the thing is, you know, City has, in recent years, just had their way with Arsenal. Like, even last year when, you know, Arsenal was looking good, they went here and tried to go toe-to-toe with City, and, you know, De Bruyne and Haaland just kind of ripped them apart. So, you know, to come in here and, yeah, not play the best, but I'd say not play the best offensively, but probably play the best defensively, I think it is a fine strategy. You want to go here, you want to kind of beat that demon of, like, City at home is this fortress that no one can break down, and you know, Arsenal did really well to frustrate them, and I don't know, I kind of liked seeing the meltdowns of players and fans alike on the City side after the game.
It's kind of nice,
you know, Haaland posting pictures of fouls on him, which I think they were called fouls, they weren't yellow carded, but that's a question for Anthony Taylor. You know, he's the guy in charge out there, and both sides certainly had fouls that could have been yellows, clear yellows we've, you know, seen all season. But
it's crazy we saw no yellows from open play.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
Like, there's a handful that I thought, like, ugh, like a yellow already, and then he's just like, no, we're good. Like, just don't do it again. And then, yeah, for it to just be two time-wasting cards is just incredible with some of the challenges that were happening and the amount of challenges that were happening.
Jesus knew what he was doing there for sure.
I mean he
knew, he tried to fight it, but then the Rayo one though, I was like, that's crazy. I was like,
yeah, that one I think is a little bit messed up. Like, is it a time waste tactic? Sure. Have they been doing it, you know, for most of the goal kicks in the game? Yeah, but like, you just blew the whistle to resume play after the subs. So,
yeah,
I feel like if you're going to card him for that, it can't be in that situation. It has to be, you know, I don't know, the next time or something.
And then I'm watching every throw-in afterwards, and I remember it was like the first or second throw-in after that happened. I don't know who it was on the touchline, but I counted almost 10 or 11 seconds, and I was just like, so where's the consistency in this? It's just so stupid. Yeah, this game was fun. It was fun to watch just because we got to see City getting frustrated and then just the blame, the pointing the finger on what went wrong for City from all their fans. And
yeah,
boy, did the blame get put on Haaland for this, which I just don't, obviously, I don't think it's fair to him to say he's the reason why they didn't get this done. Now, his stat line and the way he played obviously didn't help their cause, but at the same time, teams are figuring out, like, if you put all your energy into stopping this guy for this amount of time in these certain situations, the possibilities of you beating them looks a lot better. So take out Haaland in this game. Who else stepped up? Kevin De Bruyne. Yeah, and that's kind of it. Like, no one else did anything spectacular.
I mean, yeah, short of, you know, the moments where De Bruyne really looked a threat, I think their next biggest threat was maybe Silva, maybe Gvardiol. Like, he got down there pretty good a few times. I think some of that was just like how Arsenal's press was designed for the day. Like, I didn't really like it because it seemed like it was just come all the way to our final third, then we'll start to press you, which I just don't like giving City players that much time and control. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It happened over and over, so it seemed to be, you know, the plan. But I mean, yeah, like you said, it was a team loss, right? Like, it wasn't, yeah, Holland whiffed that. I don't even know if he's really shooting or if he's trying to put it back in the center, but he whiffed that ball. But beyond that, you know, he's basically double covered by Saliba and Gabriel the whole time. So if anything, you need your Foden, your De Bruyne, your Silva to pick up in that hole that is now available and, you know, get on the ball and make something happen. And, you know, Foden got subbed out, which I don't think anyone really expected. With how he's been playing recently, I think he would have been really, I was more worried about him with his, you know, the late runs into the box and that's kind of his bread and butter for getting goals. And, you know, Arsenal, I guess, blocked that out fine. Like, I don't even remember Foden really attempting anything.
I mean, how many times did you say uh-oh in this game? Once? Twice?
Probably twice. Probably the corner. And then, yeah, when Haaland kind of gets on the ball but then whiffs it, like, I think that was it.
That's pretty good. When you only have to say uh-oh twice, I mean, y'all got your point from City. You helped us out. It was just a strange game because we just didn't see a lot of action on goal. Yeah. So it's hard to really say if they both content with this stat line, this finish. I don't know.
I feel like from what I see amongst like the Arsenal fan base, I think most people are okay with it. Some people are still like, well, we should have went for the win, yada, yada, yada. And it's like, yeah, but you came away with a point still. So, you know, between Arsenal, City, and Liverpool, Arsenal took 8 out of 12 points this season. And that's just like the people that they're immediately challenging with, right? So if Arsenal get to the end of the season and don't win the Premier League, it's not because they failed against Liverpool or City. It's going to be the other random games that they messed up along the way. So I feel pretty good with the draw. You know, it's a long time coming for Arsenal to not get battered by City. Even Liverpool to knock out both of those in one season, I think, it, you know, shows a lot of progress for Arsenal. And yeah, you know, it's, I would have loved to win. Sure. I wanted to be on here and like gush about it, but I'll take the draw. It works for me.
Yeah, it just makes the finish even more suspenseful, I guess. I did see a good meme. It was Kevin De Bruyne talking to Pep, and he was like, "Where's Mustafi?"
Yeah, those days are long gone. Thank God.
It's like, damn, Mustafi out here catching strays.
It was a different time.
All right, well. Got any more you want to bring up about that one? If not,
nothing really. Like, the only other thought I had, well, I guess, you know, Trossard had his opportunity.
He had a nice run right when he got in.
Maybe get the winning goal. I think it just was a little bit unlucky. Like, you know, yeah, it's like maybe his second or third touch of the game where he's like on this ball for the run. So I think his first touch got a little away from him, so it let him down. I don't know if he was able to see Martinelli on the other side, but like Martinelli was wide open.
Yeah,
that would have been the pass to try and make. But you know, I think a draw on the day is fair with how both teams were. So yeah, you know, we take it, move on. Still right behind him, but still got the goal differential in our hands. So
I'm just happy we can now lose one game and still be in front of City. That means so much to me. Big. That's crazy. We get one. I know you guys are there too, but we get one blunder where City can't take us. And that to me is a big deal. So yeah, y'all got Luton next, which we can segue to Luton really quick because when I tuned in, see, Luton was the first. Was that the first game this weekend? It's one of the first on Saturday morning, one of the 10 a.m. games for me. And I saw they went up 1-0 in the first couple of minutes, and I said, they're losing. 100% they're losing. I think it's just ingrained in my head now where Luton goes up and they just don't know how to keep that lead. And it doesn't matter when it's just inevitable because time is against them. And it's great. It was a great goal. I like Chong. I like that guy a lot, but it was too early.
Yeah. I mean, to their credit, like, you take away the own goal and you know, they held Tottenham to 86, but it's, we've seen it time and again, right? Where they're not used to having a lead. They don't know what to do.
I'm sure if we went back and looked at all the leads they've had this season, how often do they keep it? Obviously, it's not a lot because they only have a couple of wins. But I just saw that stat line. I was like, oh, man. And I was like, Spurs are going to find a way to make it. And they almost didn't. Spurs almost screwed this game up. But honestly, right now, I need the Spurs to lock in a little bit here, considering they have City. Oh, I wonder when that game will be. It's supposed to be set for April 20th, but it's marked as postponed right now.
Yeah.
So I don't exactly know when that game is going to be, but we need inform Tottenham to come out and then drop off form really quick when they play us back to back. And I'm glad they play City first, honestly.
Yeah, I think that's pretty big.
Because if they go out and give everything they have, everything, Chad, they're putting their bodies on the line, and then there's no one left to play us. Beautiful thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Tottenham is that bogey team for City, so they could do it. I kind of wonder where, you know, where City's priorities will be, you know, come the end of the month, potentially into the next round of Champions League. You know, Premier League is maybe a little bit out of reach if you're having to rely on Liverpool and Arsenal messing up. Are you going to then focus more on Champions League and try and, you know, do the repeat on that? I don't know. You're probably going for both, but I don't know. It could catch some players, you know, mentally not fully focused in on the game at hand, and whether that's Tottenham or I think Crystal Palace had a good game against them earlier in the season, snuck a point off of them, I think it was. So there's hope for City to keep dropping points.
If they drop one more point, obviously it's not, you can't guarantee they're out of the title race, but I think if they don't win another game in the next three, I'm sorry, if they lose game or draw in the next three, that'll be tough. As long as we keep winning too.
That's the thing too. We're all still kind of in must-win territory.
So much. We're all putting too much pressure on each other.
That's it.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's so crazy. So yeah, good luck against Luton. Just don't let your guard down because we all know what happens.
Put
them away early.
I'm thinking. I'm not going to be surprised if Arteta goes a little bit stronger for this than people would think. Mm-hmm. You know, we had the scare away at Luton. Took, you know,
right,
basically last second goal to get anything from that game. So yeah, I think Arteta might just go strong, try and just increase that goal differential. Cause I mean, you guys have Sheffield coming up. So like,
I know
that what's our, only six goals on you. So, you know, that Sheffield team could be the game where you're now tied on goal difference with us. So,
I'm just going to say, Klopp's going to go, more! We need more!
Yeah, I mean, if this comes down to the goal differential, it's going to be insane.
I'll be kind of sad.
Stressed out.
I'll be kind of sad if that's how this season ends. It's just, someone scored more than the other, and the teams couldn't catch us. Honestly, I don't have too much to say about this Brighton game. Of course, we went down within the first couple of minutes, but... again, the master at coming back from games and getting points. It was
written
in the stones. I do want to say, though, Salah is trying he tried a little too hard this game. A lot of shots, a lot of opportunities to dish it off to, I think, teammates that had more open opportunities. To me, he doesn't look, I don't know, it looks like his pace is way down right now. There was a moment where Nunez had a great run, and it was a two-on-one situation, and he passed it to Salah, but it was soft. So Salah did have to drag back a little bit. But then I think Salah could have passed that off again, kind of across the box, and it probably would have led to a goal. But I don't know, man. He's so crafty right now. I think he needs to start leaning into that more, just because, obviously, he's getting older. His body has been... he's had a couple, you know, a couple knocks this year that have put him out for a little bit. He could still be getting into game shape. That wouldn't shock me either. This was, I believe he played the full 90 here. So it was his first 90 back since injury. So he's there. He's coming alive. Similar to Kevin De Bruyne. I feel like they're on the same trajectory as far as like getting match fit. I just thought Diaz is now finding the back of the net. I don't know if you saw his offside that game, but brutal, man. Oh my God, dude.
Well, I saw like the highlight of it, but they didn't really show much in that. So
the line went so fast. They never zoomed in on it. I had to do my own line and like see how close it actually was.
One of those. Okay.
It was crazy. I was on my phone, so I was like zooming in, but it was a butt to his like knee, and it was just slightly off and I feel for that guy. I'm so glad he doesn't give up. but solid win. Everyone's playing really great. Endo, man, he'll play a full 90 for the rest of the season, and he could be our player of the year, which is just shocking that this guy who we spent
money on
is just killing it.
He came in and you know, Klopp told him his duty, and he understood the assignment perfectly. Like, you know, in my notes, I had that because Endo's like now kind of locked down that defensive mid role. We're seeing McAllister play up more, and like he's getting on so many balls and making so many good passes. And I mean, his touch to set up his pass to Salah for the goal was just like incredible. So like, please, keep him up forward more and involved in that attack way more.
How beautiful was that touch? Remind me who pinged it to him. Was it Bradley?
It's either Bradley or Szoboszlai.
It might have been Szoboszlai. I think it was Szoboszlai.
Yeah. But I mean, he like hit that thing.
Whipped it to him. And stopped it on a dime and found Salah so fast. Oh my God. I was just like, oh, thank you. That was great. That was a great goal. That made my nomination for goal of the week just because of how beautiful it was as a setup. I'm happy, man. We look good. If we just keep the same exact pace, we'll win a title.
That's it. That's all you gotta do.
Pace.
That easy.
And I'm sure we've said it before, but Klopp has never won a title without a Japanese player on his team. So this is the one. Kagawa and Minamino.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's had some good options there.
Yeah. Now he's getting Endo. So.
Yeah. I mean, I like the context around this of like, oh, is it De Zerbi's trial as what Liverpool manager could be like? And it's like, well, if this was it, then it's not looking good.
Somebody take him so we don't have to.
Yeah. I don't think Liverpool will. I think over this season you've been able to see kind of his weaknesses exposed, and I just think of De Zerbi in like Liverpool last season, and like, are you getting anything out of that? Like, Liverpool last season was already such a oddity and so much went wrong that could go wrong. And I think if you don't have Klopp there, like, I think that probably all feels a lot worse. So I don't think De Zerbi could survive like a situation like that and like steer the club back in the right direction.
If we don't win the title this year, dude, everyone's going to be like, Klopp, please. Don't go. If we win it, go off into the sunset, right? Coolest way to exit. But man, if we don't.
Yeah. I mean, you still got Europa League to go for too. So, you know.
Win that's something.
Can be a nice send off of that too. So, I don't know. I don't think Liverpool will walk away with nothing, whether it's the league or Europa or both.
But it's one or the other. I kind of want this one.
Yeah, but you know, this one is maybe a much more stressful run-in compared to Europa League.
It's true.
Unless you got to come up against Leverkusen in Europa League, then you might be screwed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I want to beat them if we play them. Just be like, dude, just take this undefeated season and roll with it. I mean,
yeah.
But that won't happen. I'll want to beat them. Now that we're not playing for Chabi anymore, I'm kind of disappointed.
Yeah, I think a bummer, but I like that. I mean, at least as of right now, what he says is that, you know, he's sticking with them.
True.
I'd rather see that than, you know, the typical, like, manager in Germany does well. Oh, off to Bayern.
If he would have went to Bayern, dude,
that'd have been so disappointing.
Sellout.
Yeah.
Total sellout. All right. I'm content with my Liverpool talk. Again, job well done. It was against Brighton. Brighton's nothing crazy right now, so.
Nah, yeah.
It just stressed out a little bit. Let's talk shit about United really quick and Brentford. This game was a dud for the most part. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Mason Mount comes in. How long was he in the game for? 15 minutes. Finds his first Man United goal. Nice goal. Solid goal. But,
yeah.
God damn it. Brentford, man. You had this. You had the point with them. This was good to go. I saw that goal go, and then I said, oh, put my phone away, walked away. Next thing I know, Chad. Game tied. And I said, no effing way. Tony on that ball to slice it across was great. I saw the slow motion breakdown of that. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Pretty. He looked really...
I need him to do that more, though. I need him to like be that guy for Brentford.
Well,
because...
Yeah.
But like, I ideally, yeah, he's scoring the goals, but like, if he has that control and can hold off a few guys while he's doing it, I think you maybe got to play into that a little bit more, especially with Mbeumo back. You got, you know, a little bit more speed and another threat up top now. Yeah, it was like, I only watched the highlights from it, and you know, normally the highlights are like, oh, a chance on goal, or like, oh, a foul, or oh, like just some good play. This one was just like a Brentford shot, a Brentford shot, a Brentford shot, United shot, Brentford shot, Brentford shot, Brentford shot, United. Like, it was like crazy to watch. And then, yeah, all of a sudden at the last few minutes, things happened.
That's when the game started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
I do think Mbeumo coming back is that's going to take time. He's only playing like 20 minutes a game right now.
Yeah.
So, and then I want to see Maupay just be in there, just stirring up shit. And he's great. His post game memes that he's doing by himself are fantastic. They're so funny. And you know, he pisses off that other team when he gets on there in some way he can get under their skin. I don't know if you're a manager and Thomas Frank as his manager too, just is not, I bet they clash in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
But I don't know. At this point with your season and like how it's going, I should just get him out there, man. Just see what he can do.
Yeah. You know, if he, I mean, especially, you know, this United team, you know, I don't remember when Casemiro came in, but, you know, Casemiro's had a few red cards this season already. Yeah, he came in at the 80th minute, right? So Mope came in at 86, but I think you maybe see Casemiro come on and you just throw Mope on right then and say, you just go fuck with him. Like,
said, choke me.
Yeah, like, you know, Casemiro might be the guy to do it. And then, all right, now you're against 9 guys for, or 10 guys for, you know, the last little bit. So, Yeah, it's a worthy strategy.
I would do it more. Like, this is the guy you're going to go after the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
Get it done. Get it done. I feel like there's something else in this game that was notable, but I might be drawing a blank here.
I don't know. I just know United looked bad. More of the same, really. I was kind of with you on, you know, like, I knew the outcome before watching the highlights, but, like, just kind of seeing how the highlights played out and then seeing United get that goal, I was like, this would have exactly been that stupid game where they get just lucky right at the end. Like, it was, like, we've seen that too many times this season for them to, what, they're still up there in sixth? I don't feel like they should be up that high.
No, it's weird to see them up that high. Like, they're the next closest to Europe in all this, in all the table. That's crazy to me. And it's different. Like, of course, Liverpool is guilty of scoring last minute equalizers, and there's such a difference, though. It's like, I feel like we try all game. Oh my God, so many shots, and then United just does nothing, and then just gets lucky in this one little moment. Or it's so it was nice to get like a little like payback just for that. I don't know. I don't call it an over celebration, but the game wasn't over, and Brentford knew that. And Brentford, I thought, was in control for most of that game too. That's what's like crazy is United fell asleep thinking it was over, and Brentford made him pay. So Brentford, though, they need to find a way to get a win or two in the next nine. I guess they got eight. They got eight left.
Yeah, they're
just get out of that zone. Just get out. You're so close.
Right on the edge there. So yeah, you know, hopefully get Mbeumo kind of back up to speed.
Yeah,
I think, you know, the little bit we saw between him and Tony, their connection like looks like it's going to kind of pick up where it left off for the most part. So they should be able to find something soon.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Chelsea Burnley. Talk about our boy Jordan at the game, sitting next to Orange Hat. How easy was that to spot?
I saw that hat over and over and over.
Jordan should have just said he was wearing the orange hat, and I was there it every time. Fun game for a neutral, because Burnley found a way to keep Chelsea from winning. And Jordan, sorry. I wanted Chelsea to. I really did. I wanted you to celebrate. And Chelsea, this was probably the most Chelsea game ever.
For sure, yeah.
Right.
Especially with beforehand Pochettino saying, we should be fourth. And then this is the game. And then he came out after, and I forget exactly what he said, but he was like, yeah, like, we just aren't that good right now. Jordan, you're going to see the win against United. I guarantee it.
That wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me at all. I do like this new back line of Chelsea that they're throwing out there. Mm-hmm. It's youthful. They seem strong. They look big. I think they just need a little bit more organization. Midfield, you got to figure that out. Nick Jackson, you got to figure that out. You got Cole Palmer and a bunch of guys who need to figure out how to play with him.
I mean, yeah, we talked right before we started recording that Cole Palmer is just like, he's the guy for Chelsea right now. Like, he's trying his gosh darn best to get this team over the line, and all his teammates are just letting him down.
No player is bigger than the club, but you don't want this guy to think he's better than everyone else there and should be somewhere else. That is my fear. Yeah. That is my fear for Chelsea.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's, you know, he came in from City, so he already kind of had, like, something to prove, right? Of, like, mm-hmm. City messed up by letting me go. But then, yeah, for him to kind of so quickly come into this role of being, like,
you're the guy
player. Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, that's getting a little bit bigger than maybe this current Chelsea squad can handle.
It happened so fast. Happened really fast. From like, I think first half of the year is like, okay, Cole Palmer's starting to play. And now he's easily, he could be the second half player of the year. I off the top of my head, I'm just going off of our stats, what we compile. Watkins is up there, but he's just had like a couple games of just big point getting.
Yeah.
Palmer has been pretty consistent.
Yeah. I mean, even on his, you know, for us low scoring games, he always still puts in a lot of good passing and a lot of like setup plays, that unfortunately, you know, Nick Jackson, Sterling, Mudrick, they're just not finishing the chances. So, you know, it doesn't really show on the stats per se, but it's in there. Like he's doing a lot of the creative work and a lot of the scoring also, but he needs a little bit of help.
I'm gonna do it myself.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, against Burnley, this should have been an easy win.
Bro.
Especially when they went down, what, like 20 minutes in or something? I don't know, 40 minutes in. But
still, dude. You just said you're a fourth place team and you lost to a team who is pretty close to the bottom. 3 points away from the bottom.
Yeah, it's not good. It's just more of the Chelsea that we've seen, but like there was actually some glimmer of hope there, I think, when you know you go up early, well, I mean late first half, but like Burnley's also down a player, so it should kind of be smooth sailing. Like you're at home, it should be smooth sailing.
They give up two and a half.
You give up.
What do you do, man? I don't know either. I don't know what you do with this. It's awful. It's really bad. You should not be losing this game to Burnley. Well, they didn't lose, but it's a loss. You should chalk it up as a loss because that's what it feels like. I can't imagine. We'll have to talk to Jordan when he gets back to just the groans. I want to know what the groans were like.
Yeah. Okay, so Pochettino's post-match talk, he said, after today, we didn't show the capacity, the energy, the anger, not the minimum to compete in the Premier League. This is a team he just said should be fourth. So very quickly, he was like, I got this Chelsea team. Like, we're looking good. We're just not scoring, but we should be fourth. Then he sees this game. He's like, this team is shit. Sorry, guys. Like,
boy, was I wrong. The good news is they haven't lost in 2 months. So they got that going for them.
Okay. Kind of surprising, but yeah.
Just Premier League. If we just look at Premier League. So they're finding a way to not bottle these games completely.
It's true.
They're just, I don't know, maybe just the killer instinct isn't coming out. I mean, giving up a goal 3 minutes after you score the game winner, that's what's the focus. It's the focus thing, just like United.
Yeah.
They score, they fall asleep because they set up, got this in the bag, and then they drop the bag.
Yeah, they sure did.
And honestly, with the J. Rodriguez shot near the end, that really...
Very nearly. Could have been an even worse day.
Probably should have gone. Yeah, Chelsea, you gotta figure it out against United this week. If you don't...
I'm just hoping for Jordan's sake. Like, he flew all the way out there.
Me too.
Let's get him a win.
I know. If they don't, that's crazy. I feel for you, Jordan. Best of luck, buddy.
Yay.
All right, next game we got. We're kind of jumping around a little bit. It's the most relevant in my head just because of this is probably the worst call of the weekend. The Castle West Ham game. And this call, I would say, made West Ham lose this game. After the call, just all the focus was gone. It was the Calvin Phillips
challenge.
What do you call that?
I think that's just a guy who has possession of the ball and is looking to clear it. It's not my fault you step in front of me.
I couldn't agree more. I just don't understand what... Man, that's going to be a VAR to listen to.
They haven't released one of those in a while.
The last one they did was the McAllister Doku boot to the chest, which they got wrong. They said Doku had the ball first, and he didn't. So can't wait to see what this is. That was crazy. I'm all for the Calvin Phillips meme and how you know, the fans calling him useless, but this is not on him. No way.
Not at all. Not at all. What? This is, I want to hear that the VAR audio on this, because how you watch this and like somehow warp it in your mind to be a Calvin Phillips foul on Gordon is beyond me. I don't know how you're seeing that at all.
I don't know either. what I'm trying. Yeah. What were they thinking? This one hurts. This hurt my brain, Chad, because I was like, well, he's kicking the ball. And then he sticks his foot in front of him.
And that's the thing.
Like, around him.
It's not even that, you know, Anthony Gordon was challenging for possession. He just kind of steps, puts a leg, like, in front of Phillips as he's kicking, which, okay, go ahead and do that, but like that doesn't make it a foul. If anything, it's a foul on Gordon for, you know, missing his tackle.
That's what I thought. I don't know, dude. That was such a weird sequence, and of course it was only a couple minutes after Calvin got on, and you know, when he was coming on, I was definitely like, uh-oh, like what's he gonna do this time? And, this was not his fault. Shocking. That was a shocking PK. And then credit to Castle for coming back strong and, you know, doing what they had to do. But at that point, West Ham was just mentally gone. You could see it. They were so like, what are you calling here? And then 6 minutes later, goal. 6 minutes later, another goal.
Yeah. You know, unfortunate. I think West Ham was looking pretty good, kind of back to to their best, I'd say. Best, you know, Kudus was everywhere and being the problem that he can be for other teams. And I think it was just, you know, giving up some that early PK was just like a stupid, sloppy PK to give away anyway. But I think you're probably right in that, like, West Ham felt like, okay, we put that early mistake behind us, and like we really came back and rallied, and like we got this now. And then to have a challenge like that go against you, just, it's gotta suck some of the life out of you and some of the fight.
Yep. And then I was kind of surprised when Moyes took off James Ward-Prowse. They were even at that point, but I wasn't sure what Moyes wanted to do there. Did he want to get the draw? Did he want to go for the win? It seemed like he kind of wanted to go for the win, but I didn't think that would have been the move to make. I don't know. Again, that was a confusing game. Maybe Moyes was out of it too. It was just...
Could be. Yeah, I don't know. When does Europa League start up again? Because he might be kind of looking towards that too.
Two weeks for them.
I mean, they have, I think, Leverkusen, so it's going to be a real task for them. But 10 days from now. So I mean, I guess you're not really looking to save Ward-Prowse that far out. So I don't know. Just didn't feel like Ward-Prowse had it in him, I guess.
Yeah, it could have been tired. I'm really not sure, but. If anything, I would like to see Ings come in at that point, right? If you're trying to go for the win there, Ings came in just too late.
Yeah, I think that probably would have been the smarter move. I mean, if you're going to take away some of your like defensive ability anyway, might as well put on a striker who has been known to turn up and get a goal for you. So
yeah, give him 5 minutes, see what happens.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was the frustrating VAR call of the week. Glad it wasn't me.
Yeah, that was...
Sorry, Hammers.
Yeah, unlucky on that one.
That one was shitty. Forest and Palace. I honestly don't know too much what was happening over here. Got any insights?
Not a whole lot. I felt like, you know, Palace looks pretty comfortable. They got a goal pretty early. Forest, I'd say, took about an hour to really kind of get it up and into speed on this game. And I think Palace maybe just, maybe because it took Forest so long, Palace maybe just got a little bit in like cruise control and thought they were going to, you know, just take this 1-0 win away from home and be done with it. But no, Forest finally turned it on, started getting some good shots, and Chris Wood's header is like it's on my nominations list. It was, you know, very nice, just kind of, I don't know, like a, it's like a turn and like look. Like
I call it a pirouette.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. Like a difficult header to achieve anyway, but, you know, to get a goal off that too, I think is made it look pretty good. So I'd say a big point for Forest right now. You know, they're out of relegation by a hair. Or Palace, you know, they're in 14th where they, that's their bread and butter right there. So
no more, no less, right at 14th. Yeah. I know, man. Luton dropping the ball this weekend just makes me bummed for them, because I want them to get out of that 18th spot. But after this, what? Now they don't look at their last six. I mean, Forest isn't much better, but this could this is going to be another like Everton bottom five showdown again.
Yeah. Luton, I think, missed some key opportunities to get the points they needed. Because, you know, you got Arsenal next, Bournemouth after that, who looked good, City after that. You know, Brentford is, I guess, a question mark with how they've been. Wolves is maybe a question mark with all their injuries. Yeah, I hope Luton can pull off something, preferably not against Arsenal. Anytime after that is good.
City, but do it against City.
If they can do it against City, that would be incredible. Incredible. Yeah, I hope they can sneak out. Just start grabbing a handful of points, even if it's draws. Like, you gotta get something here. Like, I think they're one of the more fun teams to watch compared to, like, I'd say Forest and Everton are just not very fun to watch right now. So I'd rather have Luton stay up than either one of them, but I don't know.
Put Cole Palmer on Luton. It's better than Chelsea.
Well, Everton's doing their darndest to send themselves down.
Holy
Yeah, that's maybe the worst own goal.
It's pretty bad. I won't say it's the worst. I've seen Kondogbia from Inter score a banger from 40 yards out. This is up there, though, for sure. Just because he could have done anything. He didn't have to touch it. It's one of those, like, just don't touch it.
I'm so confused of what they were confused about. Because, like, Pickford kind of steps out like he's going to come for the ball. So I guess he's probably calling for it, or Coleman, you know, sees him move out. But then when Pickford doesn't and decides to stay in his line, I just don't know what Coleman was thinking. Like, yeah, either just don't touch it or do anything else. Why are you chesting it towards your own goal? Why are you
chesting it back to your goal that close? I'm watching it right now. Yeah. Bro.
It's just, I guess maybe just total brain fart. You know, he hasn't played a whole lot. He's been out injured a lot and, you know, loss of concentration there, clearly.
Bro, it's hard. It's hard to watch. Maybe he's maybe thinking Brathwaite's going to hit it. But
I don't think he's expecting to get the ball. But, like, that can't be your first, like, go-to move.
Awful. And then he kicks the ground like, shoot. It's like, bro, Pickford's gonna kill you.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that would have been a big point for them. You know, they're floating down there too, and you know, one more point of separation would have been big. I mean, especially with whatever other, you know, point deductions may be looming for them. But yeah, Bournemouth got lucky on that one, I think. But
I like Bournemouth. Dang it. I like Tyler Adams. I hope Bournemouth can put something together, because this season a lot of injuries, right? But Sri Lanka's having kind of a career year, and Billions was hurt a lot too, and last year he was really good. So I hope they can. I hope they can get something going, because they're fairly young. They have pretty good options, kind of all around. Semenyo, I really like. That new center back we talked about last transfer window, Ilya Zabarny.
Yeah,
I like him. You still got Mepham, even though he got a red card. Did he get a red card in the international weekend? I think he did.
I think so. Yeah,
I got Dick. So I was like, oh, he's back. He's back. So yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind Bournemouth sticking around, which they should be fine. They're well.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Intertwined in the table. I mean, they're going to battle Chelsea here for that 11th spot pretty soon, so we'll be all right.
Yeah.
Fulham and Sheffield. Fulham, you know, they had to make the crazy comeback. Goal of the week nomination for Muniz again.
Oh, yeah.
That little scissor kick thing was pretty slick. That was nice. They just put it together too late and yeah, kind of fell asleep against Sheffield.
It was just a, I mean, yeah, like, overall the game, like, what a second half. He got six goals in just the second half. Well, the last 30 minutes, basically, really. Like,
yeah.
That's pretty nuts. You know.
All good goals from Fulham's side, by the way, too.
Yeah, yeah, they were all very nice. And, you know, I think maybe Sheffield maybe fell for the Luton trap of, like, we have a lead. I don't know for what sure we're doing now. Because, yeah, once Fulham kind of turned it on and got going, they just looked how they probably should have looked that whole game.
They probably should have won that. They're probably kicking themselves for not winning that game, considering what they strung together in the end. But, you know, credit to Sheffield. What was that? Their sixth draw of the year? So,
yeah.
There is a way. There is a crazy way that they can get out from being last. It's possible. They play Chelsea. Yeah, but they play Chelsea in 2 weeks. You don't know what's going to happen there.
Oh, God.
They play Everton and Forest and Newcastle all in a row. They still have Burnley to go. It's crazy possible that it could happen. It could.
If they kind of turn it on and start to deny some goals, I think somehow there is a way.
Even if they just start, I mean, they've drawn their last two. You just keep drawing your way up to the top and let Everton just keep losing. I don't know. Crazy things could happen.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting it, considering they're on the worst goal differential we've almost ever seen.
Yeah.
But it is possible. And this game just sheds a little bit of light. I mean, they play a lot of bottom half table teams in these next 8 weeks.
There you go. Now's the time to really get everyone focused in. And
that'd be crazy. They'd make a movie on that.
Yeah, that would be nuts.
Last game we got on here, Chad, is Aston Villa and Wolves. I've been down on Aston Villa for the last month or two.
Yeah.
I like the Wolves, but Wolves are battered right now, right?
Oof, yeah.
They don't got much going for them. They're content with where they are on the table. I don't expect to really see their core come back this season, just personally.
I wouldn't think so.
I don't know why they would risk that. They're over the 40-point mark, which, again, is like that's the safe zone, so you're probably good. This game meant so much more for Aston Villa than the Wolves. So, you know, Wolves needed to take that win, and they got it. I wouldn't say easily. I think Wolves still put up a little bit of a fight. But
yeah. Yeah, I'd agree. I think Villa, you know, certainly didn't look as sharp as they could. I think, you know, Wolves' defense just kind of got a little sloppy and messy in both of those goals. But, you know, that's how it goes sometimes. You just got to force the win somehow, even when you're not playing well. So, yeah, get some, you know, 3 points ahead of Tottenham, but Tottenham still has a game to play. So it's going to be tight. They really needed to show up against Tottenham and unfortunately did not. So we'll see how it all plays out for them.
Villa's got City next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Man.
So that could be big. Villa could be one to, I mean, they already did.
Do it again.
You know, do the job against City. So if they can do it again, or at least, you know, really make them work for it or something, you know, I don't know. But
it's a big week, Chad.
It is.
There could be a lot of movement this week.
Yeah, you know, that's I got my eyes on that goal differential. I'm worried.
You're really worried about it.
Well, it's just so tight. Like it could come down to that. And, you know, 6 goals sounds like a lot, but like if it's the Sheffield that Arsenal put 6 past, Liverpool could easily do that, if not more. Like, we've seen Liverpool, you know, do that to Bournemouth in recent years. Like, so it could United evaporate too. Quickly.
Don't forget about the United game.
Ah, well, it's a classic. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, West Ham, Tottenham, I think, will be pretty spicy as well. If West Ham can play like we know they can play, I think that should be a pretty even game. I think, you know, City and Villa could be. I want the upset, but
give it to me.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna see 20 games from tomorrow till next Sunday. So we got a lot of footy to track. We're going to have to take extensive notes this week.
Oof, yeah.
And have a great memory. so yeah, we'll see when we tune back next with each other and kind of where, gosh, I mean, there could be crazy movement. If Liverpool drop 2 games and go to, I mean, just crazy things can happen. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, I've been more focused on Arsenal schedule with it, you know, being games every 3-4 days, but like, that's it. Like a lot of teams are kind of in that zone. So it's 1 week can be a big swing of points. If you get on a bad run or even a good run. So, yeah, it's coming down to the wire and, a lot to play for still.
We're almost there. We're so close. We're so close. All right. Should we get to our nominations here?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to start with my team of the week.
Okay.
And Jordan, I'm sorry. But it is Burnley.
I got them down too.
just never. That was a never give up attitude. Yeah. Going down, I mean, you go down a man and you come back from the dead to get a point.
Yeah,
fair play to you.
That's pretty good, yeah, regardless of the team. But for it to be a struggling Burnley side to do that away from home, and yeah, Burnley's definitely on my list.
Shout out to Castle too for getting it done. I just think the mentality was very different from Chelsea mentality to West Ham mentality.
Yeah.
West Ham broke mentally, and Chelsea just sucked.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, the only other ones I have are Liverpool for, you know, making that comeback and stepping up to the top of the table now. And I got Arsenal down just for ending that streak that City had scoring at home.
Fair.
Getting the clean sheet, you know, not really a full nomination, but just a good mention for them.
If you would have beat them, I would have given it to you. And that's our rule of thumb here: is you beat City, you get Team of the Week. So, we're close. Somebody can do it.
Yeah, Villa, you listening?
Do it again.
yeah, Burnley for sure though.
Yeah, Burnley for sure. What do you got for a player?
I got Harvey Barnes. Mm. You know, came in. What time did you get in there? Came in 67 minutes. Mm. Two goals, four shots on target. It's pretty good. Pretty good return there. Palmer, you know, as we said, he was doing a whole lot, trying to make things happen. Two goals himself, four shots on target. You know. Killing it. And then I had Brereton Diaz from Sheffield. Two goals, one assist. Looking pretty good. Couldn't get the win, but, you know.
But you got them a point that is so desperately needed and things that don't happen for you often. So,
yeah.
I got to give the shout-out to Salah, too. He was just very involved that game. Again, a full 90 of Salah can drive a team crazy. Yeah. And that was one of those games where, yes, he took 12 shots. Yes, not all of them were on target. But, boy, when the ball was at his feet, everyone was stressed out. And I think that can do a lot for a team who's kind of on their heels the whole game anyway, like how Brighton were. And that game easily could have been 4-5-6. Really could have. It just wasn't. And that's okay. We got the win. But I thought Salah just played great that game. Again, not huge on the stats, but that's the only difference I have from the guys you listed. Brereton, though, from Sheffield, I think that's a solid choice. I mean, God, how many goals have they scored this year? And the guy just did two in a day, and what? I don't know.
They have 27 scored, so. You know,
a chunk. He scored a chunk of their goals in one day.
Yeah, so it great performance from him. Unfortunate they couldn't keep the lead, but
yeah, he scored 7% of their goals that day.
Great.
That's wild.
Yeah.
And then for goal two, a lot of fun headers this week.
Yeah,
I like the Plina header.
The
Chris Wood header that we talked about was nice, but the Salah ping goal up there too. That was more of the setup though, rather than the goal. The goal was nice and slotted. But the Muniz goal, the game tying goal, that's probably my favorite one of the week.
Just
because the acrobatic game tire.
Yeah. Yeah, his was definitely good. I got Diaz on there. That's, you know, we've seen him have so many good shooting opportunities and just miss that target or, you know, shoot right at the keeper. And this was not even the easiest chance he's ever had and, you know, gets it in finally. So good to see him doing that. Harvey Barnes' second goal was nice banger from top of the box. Palmer, a little Panenka penalty. Shout outs to that. Yeah, it's chilly in there.
Burr.
He said, I got no one around me to warm me up on this team, so cold out here.
Give me a jacket.
Yeah. I put Konsa down for Villa. I don't think he meant to shoot like that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But, you know, I'll mention it. I think I'm probably with you on Muniz. It's just those are fun ones to see. I really thought it was going to be either Wood or Polina up until I saw that goal, but
it was the clincher. It was just he tied the game. That's, you know, moments like that. The composure takes quite the risk to just do something like that in a late game and hope it goes in. Cause he could have probably done so much more with that, but made it work. No complaints.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're in added time and yeah, you're just kind of swinging a leg at it and hoping for the best. And I mean, yeah, paid off this time.
No way. All right, let's check out our memes here really quick. We had a couple this week. Top is Harry Kane, though.
That's it's that stare off into the distance of like this is just not going how I thought it was gonna go. Like,
I made a mistake.
Yeah. You know, I in the Man City fan meltdown, I've seen a lot of them calling for sell Haaland and bring Kane. I don't think that's necessarily a bad idea. You're replacing Haaland with a probably equally good striker, but he's also kind of near the ending of his high-level career, where Haaland is still very young and you know, can still has a lot to learn, obviously. But
that's fascinating.
I think it's they're quick to forget how easily he was scoring last season.
The dude broke so many records, lost to Messi for best player on the planet. Like, y'all forgot that was less than a year ago.
That's it. You know, I guess at City, they're used to always winning and always being good. And then, you know, the boat gets rocked for one weekend. And
1 weekend. Jeez. Light everything on fire.
Yeah.
Sergio blowing out the candles. Great.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that was nice.
That was good. Oh, yeah, the Rangers doubleheader. That was brutal. That one, that sucked. It's amazing how many balls they could take to the head and be fine, but, like, when that happens, they're just lights out.
Yeah, just not ready for it.
No.
Yeah, and then women's game giving us some gold this week. Arsenal, Chelsea in the Conti Cup final. I didn't watch the game. It was all at the same time as Man City game. So like,
oh, why they do that?
It's bad scheduling. But you know, from what I hear, it was a pretty decent battle. Only a 1-0 win. So you know, a good back and forth. But apparently, Arsenal manager was, I don't know, doing something or behaving a certain way that Chelsea's manager didn't enjoy. And then, post game, she just kind of goes to like chest up to him, and like his face is what really makes it for me. He just like cannot believe it just happened. And he's like, whatever, and just like moves on. But it was just,
he was shocked.
It was that like Conte Tuchel like extended grab handshake thing, but like.
This is funnier, I think. Yeah. It was like, because it was just so random. And he was just like, what? Like, why did you do that? And then just kept going about his day like it never happened. Yeah. That was weird. That was definitely a strange moment. He probably never had something like that happen to him before. That's what it looked like. Yeah. That's what it looked like. He was shocked. All right, Chad. I think we nailed it here. Mm-hmm. I think we have a lot of games to look forward to this week, and I plan on watching all of them. Honestly, maybe the Saturday and Sunday ones will be tough to catch a majority of them. Mm-hmm. I will be working on Saturday, but not until after Arsenal. So I'll catch a chunk of them. Nice. And then Sunday, of course, starting off with Liverpool United. So it'll be a good footy week. That's for sure.
Oh my God, that goal differential is going to disappear between Sheffield and United.
We'll see. I hope so. That would be sick, dude, if it comes down to, like, one or two.
Oh, my God. It'd be like, where did you gain all these goals? Sheffield? Okay, yeah. United? God. Yeah. Come on.
Who do you think we score more against? We'll end it on this. Who do you think we score more against, Sheffield or United? Like, real. Be real.
I'm going to say Sheffield's, but I want it to be United.
And we'll break with that. Chad, it has been a pleasure. I will see you back here in a week where we get to discuss all the crazy things that will happen real soon.
Yes.
All right. And with that, we'll be looking for out.